Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You some bitches get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and more. Black power to my people. This is your brother, soldier in arms, a comrade in this war with you. Sean Kwali, I'm broadcasting live once again to you from the hills and the smells of North America. And as always, we count it a privilege, we count it a joy, we count it a blessing, we count it an honor to be talking to you once again from this platform that we call and consider Black Power Radio. And it's a blessing to be able to send you greetings from the national chairman of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. We're talking about Doctor and attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, the warrior lawyer. We send you greetings from him in every single chapter of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. And it's a blessing to have you listening to be on with us. And we are scheduled to talk to a straight-up general. We're scheduled to talk to a legend. We're scheduled to talk to a straight-up hero of our people. Right on the eve of an assassination. And some of you say murder. That's incorrect. It's not a murder. He's going to talk about it. It was an assassination. And so I believe we have our big brother on now. We're talking about the POCC channel. We're talking about Brother Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. Freedom all, Black Power, sir. How are you?
Hey, freedom all. Spirits are strong. Spirits are strong, strong. Revolutionaries, appreciation to yourself, to the listeners and the people in general, to give us the opportunity to update them about the work and the campaigns that the POCC, the Panther Cubs, are carrying on, and in particular on the eve of a day defined as one of the most brutal acts of terrorism to occur on U.S. soil. And when we say that, I know a lot of people automatically think about New York or September 11th, but when we talk to say terrorism, coming from the perspective of the OVs, not the OGs, the original victims of terrorism. We talking about the day that our Twin Towers fell, that being Chairman Fred Hampton, the age of 21 years old, and Defense got DeMar Clark at the age of 22 years old. And we saying loud and clear tomorrow, 41 years later, we saying what Chairman Fred said way back in the late 1960s, you did, that you can kill a revolutionary, but you can't kill a revolution.
And that's straight up revolutionary appreciation to you, sir. I know that you have a day that's going on tomorrow. You have an event that's planned there in Chicago. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about what's happening and why we should be there?
Well, this is an annual event that POCC has convened in coalition with the December 4th committee. December 4th committee is a committee which is chaired by Akua and Jerry, my mother comrade, and also the widow of Chairman Fred, and she also was one of the survivors of this massacre on my road, what happened December 4th, 1969. Annually, we have what is entitled IRD, again, IRD, International Revolutionary Day. We commend and recognize the legacies of not that of only Chairman Fred and the Fisk of the Mon Clark, but you know, revolutionaries past and present alike. And again, we say the beat goes on. And let me say this, too. I just want to be self-critical beforehand, if I lose connection with you, you and the listeners, because I want a cell phone. I'm how much juice or energy is on the cell phone, but we gonna make it do what it do while I'm online, you know, in the meantime.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll make it rock. Brother, dear brother, talk to us a little bit about yourself. For those, I know you're world known, but for those who may have been living underneath a rock and may have not known exactly what you do and what you're missing, tell us a little bit about who Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. is.
Well, son of Chairman Fred and also Cool and Jerry, and better yet, in the eyes of the United States government, I'm a three-strike offender. One, just for simply being African. Two, for being the son of Chairman Fred and of Cool and Jerry. And three, for continuing to fight for liberation of my people. I take a position that the government considers that a crime. I'm honored to be, you know, to be referred to as that. I'm a servant of the people. I'm representing an organization that we is canon the legacy, representing the organization which we see was defined, which is one of the most revolutionary organization that North America has yet to witness to date. Now, speaking of that, of the Black Panther Party, we say it's a tough act to follow, but we try our best. Some of the campaigns we've engaged on and engaged in the past and still taking on are such campaigns as the African Anti-Terrorism Bill. Again, the African Anti-Terrorism Bill, which talks about the day-to-day terrorism that in our community that we're subjected to. Terrorism under such euphemisms as gentrification, which we refer to as a land grab, or growing prison industrial complex, or even police brutality. We say the reality is police terrorism. We are an international organization. We have chapters, you know, said throughout Brazil, throughout home in Africa, and we respect no colonial borders. And like I said, we literally, in the spirit of the Black Panther Party, turn the communities into classrooms. And we understand what the visionary, Minister U.E.P. Newton, stated, that people learn best through observation and participation. You know, we fight against engaging with Chairman Fred, summed up as intellectual masturbation. In other words, a whole bunch of, you know, words and terms just out there talking, out there getting down in the community on a day-to-day basis, you did. And the proof is not in the pudding, but the proof is in the people. When we say the proof is in the people, the proof is in the POCC. The cases that not only our rank and file, but our central committee has been subjected to, we find a number of different trumped-up cases. In this national, a number of our central committee members took them up on trumped-up cases. We still continue to organize and still continue to fight for liberation of our people.
Yes, sir. Can you kind of update us on the status of our brother, Brother Aaron Patterson? What's going on with our dear brother, Brother Aaron Patterson?
He's been bouncing this brother around, you know, from concentration camp to concentration camp. And we know this is one of the tactics. We know why you're held captive. What they refer to as the transferring you. This is to keep you destabilized. This is to minimize your support, cause your connection to the community, to the people. But we encourage people to go to Ann Patterson on MySpace.com. Keep updated with the case of Ann Patterson, D. And because what we try to see, as we do with all the case of all political prisoners and our people in general, we stress with the one prisoner, one contact, and that is we attempt to formulate like a umbilical cord type relationship from those who are held captive to the outside community. And this is important. This is important for a number of different reasons. I know a lot of people believe a lot of the propaganda that's put out by the ruling class that, you know, that your loved ones are locked up and they live in some sort of life of luxury, you know what I'm saying, and everything's well to do. But the reality is, similar to the tactic that was implemented by Adolf Hitler, in which he said his initial victims in the gas chambers was the ones who did not receive any mail. And in the state of Illinois, you got prisoners who've been dead over an excess of 15 years, but the state is still getting paid for them, you know what I'm saying? They still receive resources for them. So with the case of Aaron Patterson, with the case of Omi Abu-Jamal, with the case of Sunyata and Coley, with Shelson Q. McGee, the Move 9, your brother, the sister down the street, we say it's extremely important. We say it's essential, it's vital that you did, that we maintain connection with these forces, you did. And this is not to say in some sort of subjective way, you know, like love letters or something like this. But, I mean, like real deal love letters, you know what I'm saying, in the context, put this in a war context. When we say these terms, we're not saying this for no slick soundbite. There's a war being waged on the community, you dig, and when forces are locked up, we must put it clearly that they are held behind enemy lines, as opposed to having to bond those or ransoms, you dig. And a lot of people say, well, Chairman Fred, that's kind of brutal term that you're saying, that you refer to as concentration camps. Do you know that the history of Dachau, Auschwitz, Germany, so on and so forth? My response, excuse me, our response, is do you know what's happening in the Stateville and the Folsoms and Attica's and the other concentration camps throughout this country?
Yes, sir. You were locked down yourself for a while. Tell us a little bit about what you experienced when you were in the concentration camp and how that impacted your life.
Well, I was literally snatched up from the streets, given some trumped up charges. The state claimed that I supposed to firebomb two Korean known students outside of Chicago. However, during the duration of the whole trial, notice I say quote unquote trial, they made it very clear, you know, with the reason why I was, you know, being snatched up and the reason why I was being the questions, or better yet, the positions that were put forth by the state's attorney, positions such as, aren't you Fred Hampton Jr.? Don't you believe this? Didn't you write this? So on and so forth. Nothing about the alleged incident. And a lot of, there were a lot of organizations, white left organizations, you know, a lot of different organizations who attended, and petty bourgeoisie organizations, a lot of forces who defined themselves as progressive, who fought to not even be recognized as a political prisoner. But as opposed to saying from the horse's mouth, we say from the pig's mouth. The pig is the pigs themselves say that you did. They laid out the whole political context of this case, you did. And I was subsequently sentenced to 18 years. And at that time, according to Illinois state law, you would serve half of that time. I was virtually transferred to every concentration camp in the state of Illinois, including the infamous TAM Supermax, you know what I'm saying, which is known for this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, sensory deprivation, no human contact. I was even relocated to the infamous Menard, which, and ironically, Chairman Fred himself was there in 1960, and I was there in 1999. And to this day, if you get a photograph of me or Chairman Fred in any Illinois prison, you get 6 months added to your sentence. You're placed in isolation or the hole for 6 months under the auspices of a violating what they refer to as a STG. Again, STG, which is an acronym for Security Threat Group. So, again, the state itself is telling you they know who out here doing what, you know what I'm saying? They know who challenged those contradictions in there, and how they don't want us to even, they remember these type of forces, such as the Chairman Fred, the Fisker DeMar Clark, Minister Doc Satchel, and other, you know, say, other groundbreakers that dared to struggle and didn't win.
Right, right. Can you kind of shed some light, Brother Chairman, on why we use the term assassination versus murder? Why do we use assassination?
We say that everything is political. And when we say that everything is political, we're not limited to plantation politics or Democratic and Republican politics. You did. We talk about words, terms, fashion, music. Everything is political, and we struggle, you know, put this in the correct political context. It was a political hit that was laid December 4th, 1969, and our people. I had struggled with this sister not too long ago, and it was subconscious, I guess, and she was just saying that you recognize that President John F. Kennedy was assassinated, but Fred Hampton was murdered, and we must fight to put this in this correct political context. What's going down with us, the people? You did, because we define ourselves as not only servants of the people, but also a service of history. Again, not only serving the people, but the service of history, so that we lay out that whatever happened, you know what I'm saying, this generation after us and generations to come, that they be very clear. They be very clear. You know what I'm saying? These were political hits that we subjected to in the real situation, in the real quote-unquote crime. Chairman Fred was, you know what I'm saying, assassinated by the government on the official program entitled COINTELPRO. Also, this hesitancy of a lot of forces, including those out of the black community, their resistance of acknowledging this as an assassination, it further exposes some contradictions that we must deal with in the struggle. Contradictions such as the race question, as well as the class question. You dig? You know, so many people were able to acknowledge, you dig, situations with every other nationality. When it comes down to representation of the black community, you know what I'm saying, that came from like situations, and by the federal government's own record, a program called COINTELPRO, you would see people trying to devalue, or he was a murderer, or he died. You know what I'm saying? We must use brutal terms for brutal reality. So we are in brutal situations. We can't keep jiving ourselves about the situation. It is embarrassing being oppressed. We must be upfront about it, call it for what it is. Chandler Frey was assassinated. Defense Captain Mark Clark was assassinated. Dr. King was assassinated. Malcolm X was assassinated. You did. We must call it for what it is.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What would you say the present state of the Black Power movement is? How do you view the present state of the Black Power movement today?
Ain't nothing all good, ain't nothing all bad. You did. And I was just making a comment the day without going into too many details, you know what I'm saying, like some internal, some forces making reference to the POCC. They were saying, man, Chairman, a lot of the struggles that y'all are going through is reminiscent, you know what I'm saying, of the Black Panther Party, you know what I'm saying, what they went through. And I tell people, I say, I know a lot of times, I say Minister Huey P. Newton and Chairman Fred and Lil Bobby and rest of these forces, they probably looking down, from the revolutionary happy hunting ground, telling me, yeah, you want this legacy, you want to care, you want to help care on this legacy, you got to bear with the good, you know what I'm saying, it ain't all romantic, you dig, you know what I'm saying, it's a lot of bad things go with it, bad things like, you know, internal contradictions and all, you name it, all that comes with it, but our struggle in general, it's, you know what I'm saying, like, we gain some ground, we lose some ground, certain contradictions get exposed to different forces, and for example, let's go with just for example this whole discussion about this present situation about U.S. president select or elect, depending on how you view, you know, U.S. history, how you, what term you want to use, President Barack Obama. This a lot of people, you know, I think it was a necessary stage that we had to deal with, to expose a lot of forces on, you know, on where their class interests laid at. You did. The POCC took a unique position. You did to say no. We was very clear. You know, see, this is not working in our interest. You know, we're still fighting for the power to the people, and we mean that. And our struggle against the oppression of our people was not based on some sort of subjective thing or disdain against George Bush, but against the system that he represents, as well as the system that Barack Obama itself represents. You did, and a lot of forces surprised a lot of people. You know, saying they had an old Kodak commercial, the Polaroid commercial, say, "We see your true color shining through," and a lot of y'all, So this is necessary. You know what I'm saying? So it's in general a lot. We experience a lot of growing pains, and lines are being drawn. It's stuff that the POCC said early on. A lot of people were very critical of us. Y'all shouldn't say this. Y'all shouldn't do this. But man, the time will tell. Time will tell.
Time will tell. You have a very close connection with the hip-hop industry, or I shouldn't say close connection, but you're influential to some in the hip-hop connection. Can you kind of talk about some of those who you've touched over the years and how you've influenced them, you and the POCC?
Well, we say we put our head to the ground, the service of the people. We've seen that a number of different phenomena were growing. Hip-hop, in one stage in the game, became very phenomenal. And as a servant of the people, in the spirit of late great Reverend Nat Turner, how he utilized the church, spirit of late great Harriet Tubman, how she utilized Negro spirituals, spirit of late great Chairman Fred Hampton, how he utilized such phenomena as the street organizations in the streets of Chicago, we put into practice what Minister Huey P. Newton stated, that in fighting for power, power is the ability to define phenomena and make it act in a desired manner. Again, power is the ability to define phenomena and make it act in a desired manner. So we take a position with the POCC Code of Culture. We said too many of us are saying some catch, we're talking about some blame. And we know that, as a criminal psychologist said, that behavior is affected by consequences. You dig? Again, behavior is affected by consequences. So we reward those who do the right things, repercussion for those who don't. And we win people at some point in unity. And we do distinguish to those in hip-hop as artists, as those who are freedom fighters. And this is important. This is not no slight or no attack on these forces. But a lot of times, people have made the mistake of trying to, you know, make certain forces of leadership. You dig? I think an interview which Malcolm X was talking. You dig? And the interviewer asked Malcolm, he said, "Well, Jackie Robinson disagrees with your position about violence." And Malcolm said, "Well, we don't hold up no bar over no Marilyn Monroe as your spokespersons. Why are you bringing this man up as our spokesperson?" You dig? So we want to be very clear on who plays which particular role. The POCC is implementing the Code of Culture in a number of different venues. For example, Kanye West made a statement that's been brought back to media light recently about George Bush not liking black people. This is right after 8 hours prior to him making that statement. It was the POCC that set him down at the Borders Bookstore on the north side of Chicago and had a discussion with him, you dig? And we say this not in an ego-tripping way, but people must understand that movements make things happen. It was forces such as H.R.I. Brown and Black Power Movement in the 60s that forced James Brown to say, "I'm black and I'm proud." You know what I'm saying? Things just don't happen on its own volition. It's been brought to our attention already. Such entities as Sony Records, they got a whole layout on myself as well as the POCC in general, telling these artists, you know what I'm saying, how to dodge us when they come to show, when they come to town, so on and so forth. In fact, this cat Nas, who we had to storm the stage on a couple of years back, in response, they didn't want us to talk about the case of SF8. We had to go seize the mic. His manager at the time, a guy named Blue. Blue had talked about the whole pressure the artist was catching just even, you know, for dealing with us. So a lot of these cats that you think they have all these resources, they got freedom of speech, they just can't say the wrong thing and they can't associate the wrong people, though. But we up to ante, man. You know what I'm saying? We say that anything in our community, whether it be hip-hop or institutions, whatever, we must, you know what I'm saying, win these forces to some point in unity to talk about the issues going on in our community. Because, again, there are too many of us in Sing Sing for some cats to be talking about some bling-bling. Just to be talking about some bling.
Right. Definitely. So in your view, the Black Power movement must take over hip-hop. Is that what we're saying here?
Well, let me say this in general, the struggle. Let me say this. And our mom of the polity does not force me to absolutes. There must be some point of unity. But yeah, first of all, our job. See, first of all, we understand. We say in opposition, the vanguard, the point of the spear. We must organize the people to a certain point of unity, but in the same breath, expose certain contradictions. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's you can engage in dogma or elitism that just telling people that things, certain things should be moved. I think we should expose the contradictions. In other words, expose a lot of these pied pipers, for lack of better terms, you dig, whose job is to send us, you know what I'm saying, to take certain dictates from Sony Records and Viacom and Universal Records, you know what I'm saying, whether they come through the forms of these Lil Slave, y'all might call them Lil Wayne or Slave Z or Puff Ball Cones, the rest of these punks, you dig? Expose these contradictions to the people themselves can be very clear. The bust out this whole facade that these chumps got some sort of, you know what I'm saying, some sort of independence, you dig what I'm saying? In the same breath, reward those who, you know what I'm saying, who go on the right side of the question. And it's not just with hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Every walk of life, you know what I'm saying? Up to ante, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Well, everybody has to play some role with the struggle. Everyone has to play some role with the struggle. There is a war. There has been waged on our people. There is no neutral position. And we must, again, expose the contradiction of the people themselves can see the injustices. People themselves can see the whole fraud and facade. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these cats, you know what I'm saying? They're saying how people like Slay Z, how they can get on records and brag about donating money to the victims, the white victims of Columbine, how they can brag about, you know what I'm saying, you dig, donating the proceeds of their first day of record sales to the wives of the police in September 11. How punks like Usher can run around, you know what I'm saying, go to New Orleans after Hurricane America. Notice how they not refer to as Hurricane Katrina. POCC says Katrina ain't killed nobody. America did. How these punks can do all these benefits, you know what I'm saying, the benefit the ruling class, the same ones that's responsible for the atrocities, you did? Expose these contradictions, you did? So people themselves can see, man, wait a minute. Why everybody want to be black when it's beneficial? Why when the heat get on top of them, all of a sudden they come running back to the community? No. So I think that's what has to be done with the struggle agenda. That's what has to be done.
Yes, sir. Can you kind of test them, but can you break down exactly what is the African Anti-Terrorism Bill, what it is?
The African Anti-Terrorism Bill is a revolutionary piece of legislation that, you know, that touches on the issues that the original victims of terrorism are subjected to on a day-to-day basis. Some of those who, whether it be Fort Greene Projects in New York, the Acorn Projects in Oakland, California, whether it be the Oscar Grants who was gunned down New Year's Eve, New Year's Eve 3 years ago in Oakland, California, Adolph Grimes in New Orleans, who was also gunned down by the police that same day, the Michael Walkers and Cabrini Greenhousing Project, you did, and just the day-to-day people, the Sean Bells in New York, and the list goes on and on. These victims of police terrorism, you did. it puts in the correct context the people who are displaced at the Cabrini Greenhouse on north side of Chicago. You dig? This mass displacement, what people refer to as gentrification, you dig? And it puts in this political term, and these are acts of terrorism. It puts in the correct context. The cases of Mumia Abu-Jamal, the Move 9, the Sunday Ali Coalition, the Sekou Odingas, and so many other forces, as you dig, is business of terrorism. And so with this discussion, we can up ante. We can call the question. We can say, where's our victims of terrorism from? You dig? Where's the psychological repair that we have to deal with? You dig? That our people who will be in this place can look out the windows and see the bulldozers, you know, knocking the neighbors' doors down, and, you know, saying the whole of terror, the brothers and sisters who may be in their vehicles riding through the community, those flashing lights come behind them, and we all experience those same sentiments of terror from the top of our heads to the tip of our toes. You did so. The African Terrorism Bill enables us to call the question. You dig these politicians, you dig all of them. In fact, POCC, one of its campaigns was entitled The Man for the Masses, which was when everybody else was running around talking about vote for me and our century, and people were asking questions, well, you going to vote for this person because he's black, and you going to vote for this person because they're young, and you going to vote for this person because they listen to hip-hop. We said, no, we flipped the script, and we're going to be asking the questions. We said, what is their position? Whether they're running for a Goddess Collective in Detroit, Michigan, or the President of the United States, what is their position on political prisoners? What is their position on reparations? What is their position on the anti-terrorism bill? We said, they take no position on that. You don't have to be no calculus student to understand that simply equals no vote.
Straight up. Well, break down to us, Brother Chairman, the POCC Code of Culture. We're just trying to get the terms out for the people who can understand what they are.
POCC Code of Culture is, again, it's a tactic, it's a campaign that enables us to win these artists to some point of unity without putting the entire onus of responsibility and attempting to, what so many people have attempted to do, place these forces in some sort of leadership. We say that it's incorrect. You know what I'm saying? That is reactionary. We say, as you did, we say we can win these forces to some point of unity with the struggle, you did. And whether it be the Dave Chappelle Block Party, you know what I'm saying? We come on there and filtering the cases of the Demonstrated Conways and Sunday Ali Coalition and so on and so forth. Whether it come through a poetry set, you did, where cats, you know, so talk about some of the day-to-day issues that's going on in the community on the west side of Chicago or the streets of Cincinnati. You did. This is actually the code of culture. And again, holding some sort of accountability. I think I looked at in Miami, Florida, some years back. I disagree with the position taken by a lot of those who we refer to as the Bautista babies, those reactionary forces that united with U.S. imperialism to kidnap young Alan Gonzalez. But I respected the fact that they did. They demanded that Gloria Estevan and Daniel Garcia come down and stand with them. You say it's sickening, you know what I'm saying, where these punks, you know what I'm saying, Puffy Combs, the rest of these punks can go, you know, donate all this, jack up all these resources to every other community and just come back to us when they get heat. In fact, they say the heat turns more than meat black. So when the heat get on, everybody want to come back to the community. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We, you know, some public calls told you at first that you dig is all about the Benjamins. As soon as this punk caught that case, well, I'm going to be doing my interviews with BET and, you know what I'm saying, so, and talking to all this rhetoric, you dig, so-called, you know, this abstract black, this abstract nationalist rhetoric. Then you got, you know, say, no disrespect to the dead, but let the truth be told. Michael Jackson first told you don't make a difference if you're black or white.
Right. Yeah,
when the case came, all of a sudden the tune changed. They don't really care about us. Kobe Bryant started quoting Dr. King when? When this punk called the case. You dig what I'm saying? See, murder.
You're right.
Murder. The brother of the slave P. The biological brother of the slave P. You dig? We never had his attention when our coordinator for New Orleans, Troy Clark, you dig, was heading up the campaign down there to talk about the murders, the bouncers, the white nationalist bouncers in Razu in New Orleans, was down there, you know, choking brothers to death. Never had seen murders here. We got there, you know, saying, dressing the atrocities you did that was going through the different housing projects, the St. Bernard and the rest of the housing projects in New Orleans. But you know what I'm saying? Or the situation in Angola 3 and the countless of forces here, countless on the largest plantations in this country. However, when, you know, when he got locked up, all of a sudden, you know, people didn't really want to contact the POCC. You know what I'm saying? So we say he turns more to me, Black, bring the heat on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What would you say we can do about that? I know we don't use the term gangs, we say street tribes, but what would you say we can do to unite or to inspire the street tribes that are in the different cities in America?
As you may notice, I am a stickler for structure. And we are a stickler for structures, you dig? You know, we are a stickler for structure. We, you know, a lot of people like don't like talking to me or talking to us because, you know, so we've been on point for clarity, you dig? First of all, let's be very, I think it's important that we come to the door just, you know, so that we just think, we make sure that we're talking about street tribes. You know, because, I mean, a lot of situations, you're dealing with cliques, groups, you know, saying a few guys hanging together, you know what I'm saying? We must utilize the philosophical tool of dialectical materialism. We had to put our ear to the ground, you dig, and say, okay, what stage in the game are we in now? A lot of the whole question of organization has been corroded by the capitalists. It's been hijacked and watered down. So a lot of these, the state itself is literally made up a lot, is making and creating a lot of these organizations and funding them up as organizations. So I mean, right. We can't go into romanticism. A few hours ago, ironically, we have having this discussion. I come from structure. You dig? I don't see how people can refer to people like Frank Lucas or Al Poe as gangsters. I mean, these are straight out, I mean, informants. You know what I'm saying? Rats. You know what I'm saying? So, first, let's be clear on, you know, on who is what. Now, you know what I'm saying? You got some get down guys. Don't get me wrong. You know what I'm saying? You got some get down guys. The record reflects, you know, Bobby Johnson was a gangster. You know what I'm saying? So yes, you just be very clear on who is who and what type of organization and structure you're dealing with. Once we come in with that understanding, and you know, Chairman Fred, when he put it into the ground, when Chairman Fred organized the Rainbow Coalition, contrary to what many of y'all have been told, it was Reverend Jackson. When Chairman Fred organized the Rainbow Coalition, when he went to, you know, say, talk to the young patriots, you know what I'm saying, a group of poor whites at the Appalachian Mountains, Young Lords, a Puerto Rican organization, when he politicized the formerly known Devil Disciples to a point of unity, when they got up publicly and said, you dig, we now renown ourselves to be known as the Black Disciples due to the political education we have received from Chairman Fred and the Black Panther Party. Yeah, he came in as a realist. He said to go talk to the Blackstone Rangers, who later took more of a nationalistic position and identified themselves the Black Keystone Nation. Then when Devil Disciples, you know, saying, was one at some point, you know, they were the Free Breakfast Program, came in with not viewing what the world wanted to be. A lot of people talk about the Rainbow Coalition. They say that Chairman Fred was attempting to recruit these brothers and sisters to become Black Panthers. No, incorrect. He came in with respect for these brothers and sisters and winning them some point of unity with the struggle.
Okay. Okay, that's important. So that's the model of what we should do today. That's important. Okay, and so let me ask you this question, Brother Chairman. I know you're right there in Chicago. Did you ever get a chance to work with the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad at any point?
Now, if you look back, I don't know. I'm familiar with the time when I was here. As I mentioned early on, I was held captive. I was taken captive. 1992, you know what I'm saying? And that was, unleashed, September 14, 2001. And Dr. Khaled was no longer physically with us then. But to answer your question, no, I was snatched up again. So we had to put in chronological, you put it to it. A lot of times, you know what I'm saying, when he was out, you know what I'm saying, doing what he was doing, organizing, you know what I'm saying, at that time, I was snatched up and held in the concentration camps.
Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Looking at the lessons of history, what would you say we should do in terms of the agents, the stool pigeons, the provocateurs, or those that are among the different ranks sent in by the enemy? How can we spot them? What should we look for? That type of deal.
And spirit of liberation and words of Chairman Mao Zedong combat liberalism. A lot of times we don't want to say certain things or deal with certain contradictions because it's your friend or this guy, he raps good, or this guy plays basketball well, or, you know, we're talking about our lives, man. You know what I'm saying? This is a deal. This ain't no show, no no fashion statement we doing, man. This is real deal. It's real deal stuff, man. You dig into my man?
Right.
The consequences are real. You dig?
Right.
I mean, you got people laying up, you know, laying up in these concentration camps with natural lives, man, facing death with the electric chairs and all the lethal injection. You got people, you know what I'm saying, going to the graveyard because, you know what I'm saying, the position that certain forces are taking. You know what I'm saying, to cooperate, collaborate, whatever else term you want to use. We must be up front, you dig? And what, you know, have whatever how you want to dress it up, you dig what I'm saying? And, you know, contrary to the image they give you, it's just some one gal, you know, that's in the organization, or some old lady looking out the window, she's a snitch. Man, I got a poem idea called Snitches. You know what I'm saying? I said, man, they come in all shapes and forms. Big time rappers, so-called leaders of street organizations, you know, they put them in, they so-called hood guys and rappers and entertainers, artists, you name it. You know what I'm saying? It must be very clear. All police don't wear uniforms. You know what I'm saying? It must put things in political context and be recognized who we're dealing with. And also be armed with a politics. And to be put in, what viewpoint are you talking about? I remember when I was locked up in this situation, this guy on the gallery had said, he said, man, the police, he said the pigs had snitched on him. They snitched on him. I said, the pigs snitched on you? He said, yeah. And I told one of the forces, I said, that statement alone tells you who this guy is. How can the pig snitch on you? If, you know what I'm saying? The pig can't snitch on me, man. They can do their job. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So a lot of people, if you listen closely, they'll tell you what their best interest is, whose side they see themselves on, or whose side they want to be on, even if they're not on that side, whose side they aspire to be. So we got the bourgeoisie and the petty bourgeoisie. We got the gangster, and we got the aspiring gangster.
That's right. Brother Chairman, we got some calls in line. You want to take some calls?
Come on with it. If it cuts up, don't, and that old saying goes, don't charge it to the hard charge of the mind. I'm gonna add to that. If a phone cut up, don't charge it to my mind. I'm a hard charge it to the charger.
Yes, sir. We're gonna rock as long as we can. Hopefully the battery will hold up. 202-271. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. Your question or comment, Black Power.
Yeah, I had a question about the you mentioned something about gangsters and stuff like that and stool pigeons and everything like that. I think that there's a misconception of the word gangster. You know, it's just, you know, I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. Right now I'm in the system myself trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents, and you know, they're making it hard, you know, for me right now. So I'm at the point where I want to just get away from everything. I'm just trying to get some clarity on what's going on and everything. Yeah. So I don't know. Hello?
It was a real bad echo or reverb. I think I caught the core of your question. I think you was, correct me if I'm wrong, you were inquiring about the whole the terminology of gangster and how you see it, and how, you know, how you confused. You say you got some questions on how people put it out, how they see it. Am I correct?
I think it's a misconception of it, because a lot of times they feel like you got to just stand on the corner and stuff like that. But there's a lot of us that are, you know, out there trying to, you know, I mean, do the right thing, or trying to really, you know, infiltrate the system, you know what I mean, such as myself. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think those of us who are trying to really infiltrate the system and stuff like that, those are the real, you know, gangsters, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, you know, I would agree that, you know, certain individuals like Frank Lucas, you mentioned him, they're definitely not a gangster, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, that's what really stood out to me and everything.
Frank Lucas, okay, I think I got you, brother. Frank, and when I say this, it's not no slight on any type of position that individuals take, but again, the reason why I do a lot of talking, the reason I fight for clarity is that we don't have no misunderstandings and that we don't know how to disappointments. There's a difference between the gangster and the revolutionary. I mean, that's the record reflect, you know. And it's, you know, and there's no slight on that, but it is what it is. So with structure, we try to fight to put people in their respective positions, I'm saying. But Frank Lucas was neither. You did. Frank Lucas was a rat. He is an informant. You know what I'm saying? It was agent of provocateur placed in the community. Alpo was the same. You know what I mean? That was another brand, another former dog who they dropped in the hood. But go ahead, brother. What you say?
Did he answer your question, brother?
Yes.
Right on, brother. Follow the people, man.
All right, we're going to go to the next caller, brother Chairman. 202-450, you're on the air with Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. Your question or comment, Black Power.
Sister Aisha here. Sister
Aisha. Black Power.
Black Power, Sister Aisha here.
Black Power, right on. From the cradle to the grave, from the womb to the tomb, right on.
Sister Aisha here. I'm calling in. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Loud and clear. Go ahead, sis.
You're loud and clear, sister.
Okay, Black Power. Brother, I want you to speak on these different groups coming up that don't want to call themselves black, and they're worshiping Egypt and anything but being black. And it seems to be diverse. It's divisive for us, and we can't get anything together because brothers looking for all kind of other things than being black. So could you speak to this new worship of Egypt and all of this? Out of D.C., Washington, D.C., Black Power.
Okay, so okay with Black Power to y'all, sister. Okay, right on. Let me say this. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, bro.
First, I think a lot of times we struggle, we want to hear things. I think we should really appreciate when a lot of times people tell us what they own. For example, a lot of people say, you know, O.J. Simpson sold out. I say, when did he sell out? They said, Chairman, you don't know about the thing he did, you know, the whole case. I said, now, when did he sell out? See, we hear what we want to hear. Listen to what people, a lot of people tell you what they own or what they want to be on. And see, the stakes are high. We hear what we want to hear. In so many cases, I remember growing up and I would struggle with different forces about different organizations saying, well, it's not a revolutionary organization. It's not, no, Chairman, you know, what you mean is, it's just, you know, better yet, let's fast forward to right now. Let's fast forward. Obama. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm so sick of it. It's a secret plan he got. You know what I'm saying? People tell you what they own. So we can't stop trying to force people to unite with us. Respect the fact that certain names and terms that people use, they'll tell you what they own, what they want to be on. This chump slave Z. The fact that he's part of a rap group entitled, how more clear can you get? So we don't take no position like we need to go over there and educate. This punk is past 12 years old. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's conscious. Yes, he's conscious.
Black Power, that's right.
He's taking a conscious decision to align with the ruling class, to represent and to respect and to honor the same entity that came through September 13, 1971 and killed 30-something brothers in Attica Penitentiary. The same entity, the same ruling class placing black people and other oppressed people in atrocious conditions for years upon years. But a lot of times we try to do is say, no, that's not what he means. Come on. When these forces refuse to say certain terms or unite with us, listen to them. Listen to them in peace time so you don't have to deal with them in war time. So I think we need to start trying to force our position, whether it be in relationships. Well, no, they just don't understand. They're young. Everything is cool. Before he came out and said what he said about the pigs was not wrong for doing what they did to Rodney King, I listened to what this chump was saying when he was saying certain statements like, you did, the group was, I'm a nigga for life, not about this black shit, so I'm not going to yell at. I watched for context clues like Jerry Heller and uniting with him. Look at context clues. This is what people say. So we must acknowledge that and listen. This is war. So I think we need to stop recognizing as that and stop looking at the world. See, the POCC, you know what I'm saying? We look at the Black Panther Party as a prototype and as an example. And Chairman Fred said, we utilize the philosophical tool of dialectical materialism. We are realists. We don't look at the world where we want it to be. I mean, I was locked up with this brother one time, and one of these counts, he kept telling me, well, Chairman Fred, I think the way all of us are going to be free is all of us going to take the Dean of Islam. And then within 5 minutes of the discussion, he was telling me how his mother is a Christian. I said, now, when you come back from utopia, when you come back from the dream world, brother, we deal with the world as it is and see what I'm saying. Because in the real world, you got informants, you got stupid, you got wretched, you got Colin Powell, you got people who have taken a cut, you got people who have taken them, you got George Foreman. You got slaves, these. You got people who are taking a conscious decision to go against the interests of the people.
That's
so we
right.
We must understand that and move accordingly. We got family members. We got loved ones. But we see, we must be armed with a politics to be able to distinguish a cousin from a comrade.
That's right. Black power.
From the cradle to the grave, from the womb to the tomb.
All right. Thank you so much, Carl. Next caller, 973-592. You're on the air. Black Power Radio, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., Black Power.
Black Power, Brother Sean. This is Brother Dashaun, and Black Power, Chairman Fred. I'm Dashaun Farad. I'm the host of the Movement Magazine, and I have a question for you. There are many black revolutionaries who state that we are not fighting against the white man and that we're fighting against the system. What I would like to know, Brother Chairman, is there a difference in your eyes between white supremacy and white people?
We fight for principle. Let me distinguish. A lot of people say, well, man, what is your thing about racism and are y'all trying to fight against racism? I say racism is merely a thought of somebody here, how they feel about you, you dig? And, for example, however this pig, when he ride past our community, however I may feel about him, I have no say-so over his life. I can't decide, you know, if he's going to eat dinner tonight or what he's going to eat for dinner. However, in his position, a position of power, he's part of a system. It's a question of power. The power to determine the death of my life. If he's drive past and however he feel, he can determine if I'm going to get 40 shots in my back or I'm going to be sitting next to him, I'm going to sit on death row somewhere. You dig? And it's embarrassing being oppressed. We say power. We are fighting for the power to determine the destiny of our communities. And this is a system. Imperialism was born out of white power. It was born out of white power. Now, race is a tool used. Don't get me wrong. It's a tool used. In fact, it's one of the number one tools used by this system. Now, in the same breath, the class contradiction is also used. Class is used also. So we must be consistent and say, whether it be come through Uncle Sam or it come through Sambo, or it come through the Gringo or the Negro, if it does not work in the interest of the masses of the people, man, it ain't happening. A lot of people ask me, what's your position about religion? What's your position about this? And what's your position about that? We are fighting for the democratic space. We are fighting for the right to even have these type of discussions, because really we jiving ourselves. We are powerless, and that's embarrassing. Generation after generation, we come up. You know what I'm saying? Whether we're going to be a football player like O.J. Simpson or a basketball player like Michael Jordan or a rapper like Nelly or a hustle or push plantation poison like Frank Lucas. These are not independent decisions that are made, that we make. It is made from the ruling class. We say the system, it is symbolic, again, to white power. But again, I would not, my politics does not limit me to simple race nationalism. In other words, I'm armed, we are armed with a politic that is able to expose and deal with and call a question on former Negro police superintendents like Leroy Martin, who under his tenure, who was black as all night, I'm talking about in complexion-wise. And under his tenure, criminals like John Burge was torturing black brothers, you know what I'm saying, and sisters inside these detaining centers, you dig? So we must be very clear that we would not be limited to believe that all, you know, saying that all this, all black people got the same position. You did. That does not negate the fact that in Nazi Germany, all those who in the gas chambers or the victims of the gas chambers, all those in Auschwitz, they were not all against Adolf Hitler. Some funded Adolf Hitler. Let's be very clear. You know, during the era of chattel slavery, you had Negroes that was up with this. Let's go before that. Home in Africa. You had certain forces working in with the Portuguese, you know, selling our people. So when we say black power, people say, well, is that reverse racism? Let's take a position as opposed to the white man? We say, no, we beg to differ. Because nowhere in the history can you see that black people engaged in type of atrocities with white power, what white power encourages. See, white power itself, it means the destruction of land, nature, you know what I'm saying? It's a society. I think Sheikh Atta Diop talked about the society that it creates in the environment, the matriarchal type of situation you did, where it creates a situation where antagonistic contradictions, where in order for me to be a man, you must be in control of women. In order for you must control the land. As opposed to the society that we come from as a people. You did? Where we worked in harmony with nature, women, so on and so forth. This African history. Stephen Biko talked about it, where we can get around, you know what I'm saying? We intertwine. We be on a beer keg. We can intertwine our politics, our religion, all of that. I said, somebody asked me, do I believe that there's life on Mars? I said, you dig? If it is, I know they up there right now saying, listen, man, don't get the white man up here. Don't get this part that says, don't bring imperialism up here, because if they do, here come drive-by, drugs, ODs, and disease.
That's real. Brother Sean, you got any other questions, your brother, before we let you go?
No, Brother Sean, I'm fine. Brother Chairman, thank you, family. You answered my question. Hotep.
Hotep, thank you, brother, for calling in. Thank you, brother.
Right.
Yes, sir. Brother Chairman, did you, we're coming almost right at the top of the hour, last few questions. Anybody on the phone line, if you have a question, press number one as we close out here. But, Brother Chairman, did you get a chance to talk to Brother Minister Huey P. Newton before he was assassinated at any point?
We just gone through some old photographs and as a youth, and I remember when I was released, unleashed out of the concentration it was a big debate on my central committee about me being flying. I didn't want to fly, and not out of fear of flying. I was like, no, I don't want to fly because I don't want to go through all the unnecessary, run around and get you at the airport. And one of the forces that was in the Black Panther Party, I think it was my mother, they brought out the picture. It's a picture they got. And they told me, when I was a youngster, so you flew before. At the rally for Minister Huey P. Newton, as a youth, I went to. And they shut my whole argument down. They said, this ain't new to you, man. You flew before. There's an event, Minister Huey P. Newton. There's a picture where I'm looking up in the poster, Chairman Fred, and I forgot how old I was, though. So, as a young cat, and I use that term literally and figuratively, as a young cat, at this event where Minister Huey P. Newton was at. But I'm dedicated to that, to the legacy of the Black Panther Party. We dedicated, I was
right,
all our activity, and that I'm part of a structure, I represent a structure that, similar to that, a lot of forces that really need to dialogue with them, direct, but it's part of a structure, ideology that I committed to, and I take a position similar to that of Field Marshal George Jackson when he said, if it was not for the Black Panther Party, he didn't know what had happened to him. I say today, as representative of the PLCC, the ideological cause of the Black Panther Party, we say we're the great grandchildren of God, we're the offspring of Malcolm, the cause of Panthers. I commit this organization. In fact, I said this at the home going for Stanley Tookie Williams. Tookie Williams grew up in a situation similar to that I had when I was early on in my life. The only options in life was to become a Boy Scout or a banger. Again, to become a Boy Scout or a banger. In other words, suit up and boot up for corporate America.
Right.
9 to 5, or hit the streets. The Black Panther Party provided a vehicle. And let me say this. This is no slight or no attack on nobody who takes that position. But I think there should be a venue, and that's what the PLCC fights to, a venue of organization, that we can fight on our own terms. And it's cool to do poetry like Bunchy Carver, but at the same time, don't get this twisted, man. See, no turn of the cheek type action either, though. You did.
Right.
An organization that came from the masses, came from the valley. An organization that turned the communities into classrooms. And I say, I commit, and we want to commit, no other generation, are only facing those two options, man. We see not only the legacy of the Black Panther Party, we see the Black Panther Party Cubs, the PLCC, man. We see, we recognize it's a tough act to follow. We try our best. We say, what's our call? Yes. Free them all.
Yes, sir. Free them all. How is Mama and Jerry? How is Comrade Mother? She doing all right?
Let me say right on, brother, for, you know, inquiring about her. And I would be remiss if I don't acknowledge her. And I talk about myself. I say I was fortunate to fall from the tree of two freedom fighters, that of Chairman Fred and that of Akua and Jerry, formerly known as Deborah Johnson, who had just turned 18 years old several days prior to this massacre on my road. She is not sold out. She is still fighting in the atmosphere where so many people have attempted to, you know, water down and hijack these legacies and co-opt these legacies. And,
right.
You know, she, man, hey, she's principled. I'm honored and I'm humbled to be the son of such a courageous force.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what I'm talking about. Please send her our greetings. Please send her the greetings on behalf of our national chairman, Dr. Antonio Malik Shabazz. Tell her we love her, man. Please do that.
We getting this. She's on the ground. She's on the ground right now. She's on the last minute. She's trying to get these people coming in. She's, you know, we getting ready for within a few hours as we speak. We're going to be convening tomorrow, you know, right in front of Ground Zero. And it's 41 years later, man, you know what I'm saying? And I know y'all heard the stories, but for those of you who have not been to Chicago, the infamous Chicago Hawk, it's going to be cold out here. So, you know, we're going to be strapping up and everything. But I'm going to touch down with him, like I said, you know what I'm saying? We'll relay those greetings, brother. And like I said, man, we let the world know Chicago time, 12 o'clock, high noon, wherever y'all at. Whether it be on the campuses of some university or inside Attica or Folsom, so it's 12 o'clock Chicago time. Stop what you're doing. Put your fist in there. Clench fist. Go into the spirit of Deputy Chairman Fred and defense of Lamar Clark. And we put in the practice what Chairman Fred said you did. You can kill a revolutionary, but you can't kill a revolution.
That's right. Finally, Chairman, what's the name of the street? Where is it at? And how can those who want to help and support the movement get in contact with you to help?
Yes, sir. The street is Chairman Fred Hampton Way, 2300 West Chairman Fred Hampton Way. Now, for those who are politically incorrect, it is Monroe and Weston. Monroe and Weston. But we refer to it as Chairman Fred Hampton Way. And please get in contact with us. Phone number, area code 773-256-9451. Again, area code 773-256-9451. Mailing address, P.O. Box 368-255. Chicago, Illinois, 60636. Again, P.O. Box 368-255, Chicago, Illinois, 60636. My email is Chairman Fred Jr., ChairmanFredJr. @gmail.com. We can be reached on the Facebook at Who We Be, P-O-C-C. Again, Who We Be, P-O-C-C. And Facebook, The Real Chairman Fred. The Real Chairman Fred. Please, on the
right.
P.O. Box, send resources, support your troops. We are not a faith-based initiative funded. We're not FBI funded. We don't even see no fund. The POCC is broke, but we ain't broke. We in debt, but we ain't dead.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we the same way. We know that feeling. Brother Chairman, thank you so, so much for your time, brother, your effort, your energy, your sacrifice, and everything that you do and that the POCC does and our comrades do to uplift our people. We love you and appreciate you, black man. And I want to say on behalf of the National Chairman, Dr. Antonio Malik Zulu Shabazz, man, we love you and we got your back, dear brother.
Well, thank you, brother. I'm glad this charge is staying with us, though, man, so I ain't going to push my luck. We got it in. So,
yes, sir.
Hey, I ain't going to push my luck. Trying to push this conference too much longer. I'm really glad that we got to do this entire interview. And again, Revolutionary Appreciation for giving us the opportunity to rival yourself, the listeners, and again, the people in general, because we do understand that without the people, revolution is impossible. So again, man, let this hit the airways, you know, say loud and clear. You say, man, keep on to the people, man. We love the people because we love to love the people. I'm honored and humbled to be a servant of the people and legacies, man. It's so important. I think I'm paraphrasing Young Pac, man. We say, man, we all make our mistakes in life. We all get our pros and cons, our ups and downs, our assets and liabilities. I just want to make sure that on Judgment Day, man, that my pros outweigh our cons, man. And again, Revolutionary Appreciation for giving us the opportunity to, particularly on this eve, this eve of this eve of they wanted to be an eve of destruction. We say it ain't gonna be no eve of destruction, man. They wanted to be known for the day they scared us, man. They shook us up. You know what I'm saying? The way the Chairman Fred was assassinated, the way the Defense of Mark was assassinated, he was designed to send a message. These chumps into this system capitalists, they wanted me to come out and, you know, man, punked out. They wanted to be punked out as people, man. We got to put in the price what Chairman Fred said you did. You can kill a revolution now, kill a revolution. We got to put in the price what Malcolm said. Even if you don't fight back, they'll kill you. We got to say what Marcus Garvey said. Failure is not an option. It is not an option. Power to the people. Keep your head up, your eyes open, your fists clenched. Better show, better win. He says, our people in New Orleans, our people in Angola, our people in Folsom, the Sunday Island Colors, Marshall and Eddie Conway's, Seiko Dingles, your brother, sister down the street, what to call Free Them All.
Free Them All and Black Power. Chief, thank you so much, Brother Chairman. We know you got a role, brother, so we thank you once again, sir.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Free Them All. And so there it is, brothers and sisters. That is the POCC Chairman. Our dear brother, comrade, and soldier in arms, Brother Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. Be sure to support him. Be sure to support him tomorrow on the eve of destruction. And so we find no better way, as it's the top of the hour now, to close out the show than with the words of the immortal Fred Hampton Sr. Black Power, join us again for our dear brother, Brother King Samir, his show, Stop Cooning Show, and he will give tribute to the Honorable Fred Hampton Sr. tomorrow, 11 Eastern, right here on Black Power Radio. And we leave you as we came with Black Power.
I'm out on an appeal for trumped up robbery, and we got around 9 people still locked up in jail. We have 2 people still locked up in jail from a July 30th shootout we had with the pigs. And we have around 4 or 5 more still locked up from the last ambush of the office on a week ago Saturday, I think. These people are people that work hard for the party here in Chicago. And the main thing that we believe caused the vamp on the office leads right back to what you were talking about, Chairman being in Chicago. You know, people came into the office and piled up the health supplies for the health clinic and burned it in the middle of the floor. This showed some type of megalomaniac tendency that these people have because they're obsessed and they're crazy with power. They came into there and they ripped the brothers off out of the office and then beat them brutally when they got them outside the office. The brothers did not shoot at them like they claimed they did. They said that somebody in the block was sniping and these drunkard bastards went up in the office and burned the whole office down because some people were shooting at them. The main issue is that the chairman's down there at the federal building and the chairman's being tried illegally. We don't think that old people have a right to try the chairman. We don't think that this judge, he's too old, he's too outdated, he's too outmoded, he's too decrepit, he's too senile. He's too stupid, and he's too racist, and he's too imperialistic. To try our chairman, he's got too many fucked up traits. And so the issue now is that we organize the people around some of these bad traits, some of these illegal traits that this man has, some of these traits that would not allow him, whether he wanted to or not, to be able to give our chairman a fair trial. You see, when you get that old, you don't do what you want to do. You do what you have to do, you know. And even if he did get some type of good feeling about wanting to try a chairman in a proper manner, it wouldn't even be possible. He doesn't have enough strength in his body to try to withstand any type of attacks that the press would launch on him if he gave our chairman a fair trial. We want him out of the courtroom, and we want our chairman released because the chairman is not a criminal. As a matter of fact, he's just the opposite of a criminal. He's just as far from being a criminal as that judge is from being a teenager. Because he's the father of our Breakfast Children program, he's the father of our free health clinic. And this is not, if this is criminal, then we all want to be criminal. If it's criminal to feed children that are hungry, it was criminal to start a program that says that the only prerequisite that people have to have to involve themselves in this program is to be hungry, then that we're going to continue to be criminal. If it's criminal to say that the only prerequisite that people have to have when they want free medical aid is that they be sick, then we intend to continue to be criminal. And because we think that this shows the contradictions of that slaughterhouse down there, that what they call a Cook County hospital, where they take people and experiment on them, and they got these gaping apes down there that are waiting to launch some type of physical attack on people and rip them off, take intestines, anything else that they need for some of their relatives. And we know about all these maniacs because this Dr. Bernard was a maniac. We call him the fastest knife in the West. And he's ripping black people off, and all these fascists ripping black people off. It's a racist tendency. These people don't have any right to determine when black people are going to die. They don't have any right to be able to lay a black man down and say that we think he was close enough to death that we should take his heart. Because these motherfuckers, we know where they at, and we know they want some everything off of us. They like some of our sex organs. They like some of everything, some of our brains and arms and everything. And we're not going to allow these motherfuckers to rip us off. We know that with the way this fascism is going, it'll be around 3 weeks, and you won't be able to go in and get a physical checkup. Every time people go in there, they'll come out, and he just died, and he had a common cold, anything, and the motherfucker, he just died, and it just happened that another person was in there who needed a heart, and we took his heart and gave him to this other man. We think there's too much racism, there's too much fascism, there's too much imperialism to allow these people to play with our lives in general and play with our chairman's life in specific. This man has no right, and this is what the people have to understand. We out here trying to educate, trying to inform, trying to organize, and trying to teach the people some revolutionary political power and have them arm themselves. We know that once the people are armed, those people cannot be oppressed, and they cannot be repressed without any type of retaliation, and retaliation is the only thing in the world that's ever going to stop fascism. It's not a question of nonviolence or violence. The question is between resistance to this fascism or either non-existence within fascism.
Until the philosophy which hold one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned, everywhere is war. It's a war that until they're no longer first class and second class citizens of any nation, until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes. It's a war that until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race. It is a war that until that day the dream of lasting peace, world citizenship, rule of international morality will remain in but a fleeting illusion to be pursued but never attained. Now everywhere is war. War. And until the ignoble and unhappy regime that hold our brothers in Angola, in Mozambique, South Africa,